Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we're heading to the top of the world, to the Himalayas.
Awesome.
But this isn't just going to be about climbing gear and those icy peaks we see in pictures. We're going way beyond that and really exploring the region as both a physical and a spiritual frontier, and all based on this really fascinating mix of history, geography, and religious texts.
And it's incredible how the Himalayas are not just a, you know, static backdrop for these stories. They're always evolving.
Right.
They shape the weather. They influence cultures. And they hold deep spiritual meaning for millions of people.
I mean, my mind is already blown. I've always been fascinated by, you know, photos of the Himalayas. You see those massive peaks just piercing the sky. But one of the sources you went over mentioned that they're actually pretty young, geologically speaking. So how does that even work?
Yeah, it is mind-boggling, isn't it? So the Himalayas are actually the result of like a slow motion collision. Imagine the Indian subcontinent drifting northward over millions of years and just slamming into Asia. And guess what? That collision is still happening today.
Wait, so the Himalayas are still growing?
Exactly. They're rising a few millimeters every year. And it's this constant ongoing collision that creates those dramatic peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Not to mention the Tibetan Plateau, which is this massive high altitude region that's like nothing else on Earth.
Wow, that actually explains a lot. One of the sources I was reading was talking about how unique the plant and animal life is up there. Like it's this biodiversity hotspot. Does that tie into the Himalayas being so young geologically?
Oh, absolutely, because the Himalayas are constantly changing. They're always forming new habitats. So evolution has just gone into overdrive up there. You have everything from lush forests at the foothills to snow leopards, you know, prowling the high peaks, each perfectly adapted to very specific conditions. It's really no wonder that your source called it a living laboratory of evolution.
I mean, that makes total sense. But if we're talking about forces of nature, we have to talk about the monsoon. Some of the things you sent over mentioned that the Himalayas play a huge role in shaping those intense weather patterns. So what's the connection there?
Well, think of the Himalayas as this giant wall. They basically block the warm, moist air coming in from the south and force it upwards. As that air rises, it cools and all that moisture condenses. And boom, you get those torrential monsoon rains that are so vital to that whole region.
And that's probably why that source I was reading about Himalayan agriculture talked about that delicate balance they have to strike with water management. Because the monsoon is life-giving, but it can also be, you know, unpredictable and dangerous.
Precisely. It's a lifeline for the region. It provides water for crops and ecosystems, but too much rain can lead to devastating floods. And too little can cause drought. So it's this constant challenge for the people who live in the shadow of these mountains.
It really sounds like the Himalayas touch every aspect of life there, from the practical to the spiritual. Speaking of which, several of your sources talked about the Himalayas as this deeply sacred space, especially in Hinduism and Buddhism. So what is it about these mountains that inspires that kind of awe and reverence?
Well, for centuries, people have looked to the Himalayas as this mystical realm where the earthly meets the divine. It's a place of incredible natural power and beauty. And I think that just naturally translated into a belief that gods and spirits reside there.
Okay, that totally makes sense. And I'm guessing that's why there are so many pilgrimage sites scattered throughout the Himalayas, places like Kedarnath and Amarnath that were mentioned in the stuff you sent over.
Exactly. These pilgrimages are more than just physical journeys. They're acts of devotion, tests of faith, and for many people, a way to connect with the divine in a really profound way.
I'm noticing a theme here, this constant interplay between physical challenges and spiritual rewards. It's like the mountains themselves are testing people's limits.
Yeah, you're hitting on something really important. The Himalayas aren't for the faint of heart, whether you're talking about the terrain or those spiritual journeys people undertake. It's a place that demands respect and resilience.
So let's dive into some of these specific pilgrimage sites. I'm particularly curious about Kedarnath, this temple dedicated to Shiva that's nestled high in the mountains. What makes it so special?
Kedarnath is one of the holiest shrines in Hinduism. And it's dedicated to Shiva in his aspect as the Lord of the Mountains. It's perched at over 11,000 feet. And just getting there is an arduous trek, often through really treacherous conditions.
Wow, that sounds intense. And you also sent over some stuff about this other place, the Amarnath Cave. What can you tell me about that one?
Oh, Amarnath is equally fascinating, though in a different way. It's this naturally formed cave that houses a giant ice stalagmite. And Hindus believe that ice formation is like a physical manifestation of Shiva.
I'm picturing these massive crowds all making their way up these steep mountain paths to reach these sacred places. Must be an incredible sight to see. And speaking of incredible sites, I have to ask about Mount Kailash. Your sources mentioned it's considered sacred, not just in Hinduism, but also in Buddhism and Jainism.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes it so universally revered?
Well, Mount Kailash is unique. It's considered the Axis Mundi, the center of the world, in multiple traditions. And for Hindus, it's believed to be the abode of Lord Shiva himself.
Okay, now I'm really getting a sense of why you called this a spiritual frontier. It's like these mountains hold the keys to unlocking something profound within yourself. And that leads me to a question.
Let's hear it.
So we've talked about the Himalayas as this geological wonder and this spiritual powerhouse. But what about the people who actually live there? You know, in some of the stuff you sent over, you mentioned this incredible mix of cultures and history. Like, it's been this crossroads for centuries.
Oh, you're right. It's not just about the mountains themselves. It's about the people who have interacted with them, adapted to them, and woven them into their cultures and beliefs over time.
One of my sources mentioned the arrival of the Aryans around 1500 BC.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they brought with them the Vedas, these ancient Hindu scriptures that became a foundation for Hinduism. So did that have a big impact on how people viewed the Himalayas?
Oh, absolutely. The Vedas are filled with stories and hymns about the natural world. And mountains in particular are seen as these sacred, powerful places. So you can definitely see how the arrival of the Aryans and their beliefs really shaped how people started to view the Himalayas, not just as this physical presence, but also as the spiritual realm.
Right. It's like the mountains themselves became part of the religion. And speaking of religion, your sources also mentioned Buddhism spreading through the Himalayas too, right? Yeah.
That's right. As Buddhism emerged from India, it spread along trade routes and through the travels of monks and pilgrims. And many of those routes went right through the Himalayas, connecting different parts of Asia. So the mountains kind of acted as this conduit for the spread of ideas and beliefs, shaping the spiritual landscape of the whole region.
It's amazing to think about how these massive, seemingly impassable mountains actually helped connect people and cultures. And it wasn't just religion that flowed through those mountain passes. Your research also mentioned trade routes like the famous Silk Road.
Right. The Silk Road wasn't a single road, but a network of routes crisscrossing Asia. And many of those routes passed through the Himalayas. So for centuries, goods, ideas, and people were flowing through these mountain passes connecting East and West.
Okay, so we've got the Aryans, the spread of Buddhism, the Silk Road. Sounds like the Himalayas have seen their fair share of history. Were there any particular empires or kingdoms that really left their mark on the region?
Definitely one that comes to mind is the Mughal Empire. They held sway over much of India for centuries, and their influence extended into the foothills of the Himalayas, leaving behind a legacy of art, architecture, and cultural exchange.
Yeah, my source actually mentioned a specific Mughal emperor, Akbar, who was known for his tolerance and respect for different religions. Did his reign have any notable impact on the Himalayas?
Oh, Akbar's reign is considered a golden age for Mughal architecture, and his influence can be seen in forts, palaces, and mosques throughout the region, even in those areas bordering the Himalayas. He really embraced the diversity of his empire, blending Islamic and Hindu architectural styles in a way that reflects that cultural fusion that the Himalayas have always fostered.
It's a reminder that the Himalayas have never really been isolated. They've always been this meeting point for different cultures and ideas. And of course, we can't talk about the history of the Himalayas without mentioning the British Raj.
They had a huge impact on the region, didn't they? Absolutely. The arrival of the British East India Company in the 17th century marked a real turning point. Initially focused on trade, the company gradually expanded its power, eventually controlling vast swaths of India, including areas bordering the Himalayas.
My source mentioned Warren Hastings, the first Governor General of Bengal. It seemed like he played a pretty key role in cementing British control.
Yeah, Hastings was a complex figure, both a patron of Indian culture and a ruthless administrator. But his policies had a profound and lasting impact, shaping the political and economic landscape of the region for generations.
It's fascinating and kind of sobering to see how the Himalayas have been shaped by these waves of conquest and influence. And it makes you realize just how much history is embedded in those mountains.
Yeah.
But it's not just about empires and trade, right? The stuff you sent me also talked about this idea of the Himalayas as a frontier, a place of exploration and adventure.
That's a great point. The Himalayas have always held a certain mystique, drawing explorers, mountaineers, and spiritual seekers alike. It's a place that tests human limits and inspires awe and wonder.
I'm guessing the British, with their, you know, penchant for mapping and surveying, had something to do with this.
Absolutely. They launched the Great Trigonometrical Survey, this massive undertaking to map the entire Himalayan range. It was driven by a combination of scientific curiosity, a desire for military control, and that classic British urge to document and categorize everything.
And let's not forget the allure of Mount Everest, that ultimate challenge for mountaineers. I mean, who could forget the story of Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay's historic first ascent in 1953? It captured the world's imagination.
Yeah, their achievement was a testament to human courage and perseverance, and it really solidified the Himalayas as this ultimate testing ground, not just for physical endurance, but also for the limits of human ambition.
But it wasn't just about conquering mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your research also mentioned botanists and zoologists venturing into the Himalayas to document the incredible biodiversity there.
You're right. The Himalayas are a treasure trove of unique plant and animal life. And these scientists played a vital role in expanding our understanding of the region's ecosystems and the remarkable adaptations that allow life to thrive in such extreme conditions.
So we've got explorers mapping the terrain, mountaineers pushing their physical limits, scientists uncovering hidden wonders. And of course, there are the spiritual seekers, those pilgrims we talked about earlier, drawn to the Himalayas as a place of profound meaning and connection.
Exactly. It's this incredible tapestry of human experiences all woven together against the backdrop of these majestic mountains. It speaks to the enduring power of the Himalayas to inspire, challenge, and transform us.
It's almost like the Himalayas are this mirror reflecting back at us our own ambitions, our search for meaning, our desire to connect with something larger than ourselves.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. The Himalayas aren't just a mountain range. They're a reflection of humanity itself.
It's incredible to think about all that history and culture we just talked about. But one of your sources brought up a really important point. The Himalayas aren't just some relic of the past. They're facing some very real challenges in the present, aren't they?
That's right. The Himalayas are kind of at a crossroads. They're facing this complex mix of globalization, development, and environmental concerns. And it's putting immense pressure on this fragile region.
And it's not just about protecting the mountains themselves, right? It's about the people who call the Himalayas home, you know, whose lives are really intertwined with this environment.
Exactly. The Himalayas are home to a diverse tapestry of cultures, each with their own traditions, languages, and ways of life. And many of these communities rely on things like subsistence agriculture, herding, and natural resources for their livelihoods. It's a delicate balance that's being disrupted by forces both within and outside the region.
One of my sources was really highlighting deforestation as a major issue. They were talking about how it's not just about losing trees, but all those ripple effects on soil, erosion, landslides, and even the water supply.
Yeah, it's a critical issue. The Himalayas are a vital source of water for millions of people downstream, and deforestation disrupts that delicate balance, leading to increased runoff, flooding, and ultimately a decrease in the availability of clean water.
And then there's the elephant in the room, climate change. You know, the stuff you sent over painted a pretty stark picture of melting glaciers, unpredictable weather patterns, and the potential for widespread disruption.
Climate change is perhaps the most significant threat facing the Himalayas. Glaciers are receding at an alarming rate, and that has huge implications for water resources, agriculture, and the overall health of the ecosystem. It's a complex issue with far-reaching consequences.
I mean, it is a lot to take in, but your sources weren't all doom and gloom. They also talked about some potential solutions and the work being done to address these challenges, right?
Absolutely. There are a number of initiatives focused on sustainable development, conservation, and community empowerment. Organizations like the World Wildlife Fund and the International Center for Integrated Mountain Development are working with local communities, governments, and other stakeholders to find solutions. Solutions that balance economic growth with environmental protection.
One of your sources specifically mentioned ecotourism as a potential model for sustainable development. Is that a realistic option for the Himalayas?
Well, ecotourism has the potential to be a win-win, you know, bringing economic benefits to local communities while minimizing environmental impact. But it requires careful planning, community involvement, and a commitment to long-term sustainability. It's not a quick fix, but it could be part of a larger solution.
So it sounds like there is hope, but it's going to take a collective effort from everyone involved, governments, organizations, and individuals alike.
You're absolutely right. Protecting the Himalayas is not just about preserving a mountain range. It's about safeguarding a vital ecosystem, respecting diverse cultures, and addressing the global challenge of climate change. It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected and that our actions have consequences, both near and far.
I think that's a powerful message to leave our listener with. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of these challenges, but it's also important to remember that we can all make a difference. Even small actions can have a ripple effect.
Absolutely, whether it's supporting organizations working in the region, making conscious consumer choices, or simply staying informed about the issues. Each step we take brings us closer to a more sustainable future for the Himalayas and for the planet as a whole.
Well, I have to say, this deep dive has been quite a journey. We've gone from the formation of these incredible peaks to the spiritual beliefs they inspire to the very real challenges they face today. It's been eye-opening, to say the least.
It's been a pleasure exploring these complex themes with you. The Himalayas are truly a microcosm of our world, a place where beauty, resilience, and the power of human connection converge.
And to our listener, we hope this deep dive has inspired you to learn more about the Himalayas and to consider the role we all play in their future.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep that sense of wonder alive.
Until next time, keep diving deep.